The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. We're open line till 1 o'clock today. And you get in touch by calling 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on the same number, 166177, or email studio@manxradio.com. Lots of talk over the past few days since we had the energy efficiency people in talking about what's available, about how to look after your house, your home, what to do with that vent from your bathroom if it goes straight into the loft. And I didn't realise how common that is, apparently. Lots of bathrooms have been put in with the vent from the shower or the bathroom literally just going straight into the loft. Maybe you're a plumber, you can tell me what happens when you do that. Anyway, a local charity is hoping to encourage more people to give up their time and become a volunteer, because they're short of volunteers. Now, I've never known this before on the Isle of Man. There are always many, many people who give up their time and volunteer for things. But the Victorian Society is absolutely short. The Victorian Society helps organise all sorts of things, including keeping open the Camera Obscura just below us on Douglas Head, the green and white thing. Peter Kelly is the founder of the Victorian Society, and he says they basically had illnesses among them. Illnesses have blighted them, their usual cohort of volunteers, and they are short.
It was built 1892 by Mr. Fielding. It's the only multi-lensed camera obscura, certainly in Great Britain, and they're still building them in America, but they still build them with one lens, which revolves, whereas here he had the very clever idea, pictures stay still, people move. But he fell on his sword in so much that this was coloured pictures before there was cinema. So the Victorians came in and, wow, look what's happening out there. Oh, look at those.
And so how often are you able to open the Camera Obscura?
Well, obviously we rely on volunteers. So we're open on a Saturday and on a Sunday and on a bank holiday.
Why do you think you're short of volunteers, but it's not an issue that you alone are facing?
Well, it's only every so often we find that our numbers of volunteers are dropping. But basically what it is, that the people that volunteer have retired. We want to keep it going. Hence, at this moment in time, we are looking for new volunteers.
What do you think you can do to try and encourage more younger people to give up some of their time in such busy times?
I wouldn't even try. I've got sons and trying to catch them. It's the retired people who a Saturday and a Sunday is no different from a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So they can afford 4 hours and that's it. And when we've got a full complement, you get 1 4-hour session per month. So it's not onerous by any means.
And what is a full complement for you? How many volunteers do you need?
Well, we need about another 10 at the moment to bring us up, as say, with people in hospital and illness and what have you. When we started, we had 40 volunteers, but gradually that's decreased. We've got down to about 20, but as I say, there are some who can't do it just at the moment.
Okay, and Peter, if you're listening, send us in an email and tell us how we get in touch with the Isle of Man Victorian Society. Anybody fancies volunteering for that? A note in from, this is WhatsApper 674, it's unsigned, but he said the humidity on a humid day wouldn't enter a house if you opened a window. Relative humidity works in your house like this. The heating dries your soft furnishings and damp walls, and the heat puts the water back in the air. When the house cools, it drops the humidity back into the soft furnishings and the walls. It also condenses better around cold, large metal objects. So if you pull a washing machine out on any house or any house that's been poorly heated or it's humid, creates black mould. Black mould grows at and below 18 Celsius. It also needs water. So you may not understand this, but the best way is to fetch the humidity out of your house in winter is to put the central heating up as much as you can on a frosty day and night, and then about after a day or so, open all the doors and windows. God's dehumidifier is frost, and the frost will suck out the humid air and replace it with clean, cool, dry air. So, to relative humidity, 52% is good, but I get mine down to 27% in the heart of the winter. This'll have your tongue stuck to the roof of your mouth when you wake in the morning, but your house will be mould-free, and a dry house is a warm, economical house. High humidity is like having a bath and lying in your own juices. Oh, dear. Low humidity is like having a clean shower. And lastly, mould loves your lungs. Warm and wet, and one day it's waiting for your immunity to be weak, then it will kill you. Oh dear, the old man's friend, pneumonia. Just nature's way of starting to take you. Well, thank you for that, 674. I didn't know that, or about relative humidity, and the best way is to put the central heating up and then fling the doors open a couple of days later. Thank you for that. Here's Juan with us now on Man in Line. Hi, Juan.
How are you, Andy? I thought you would be in the conclave this week.
Who says I wasn't?
Ah, you didn't get chosen.
It was the Manx conclave.
Well, no, you know, I was sat there yesterday. I thought, I'll have a little play around with Photoshop, because I was on hold for 30 minutes, and I thought, let's have a look what Andy looks like in a papal dress. That, you know, that nice picture that they've got of you on Manx Radio, and you look quite good in it, I thought, the papal headdress.
Well,
I thought you would have been in the conclave.
Bless you, my son. Bless you.
For all my sins. For all my sins. And, of course, from next year, now there's going to be a problem, because the Green Party have said that there's going to be no black smoke. So I'm going to find out now.
And also, I mean, all joking aside, an American pope. I mean, do you think that has any terrorist implications?
I don't know. There's a conspiracy for you, wasn't it? The week before, President Trump dressed up in a pope outfit. How's that for a conspiracy?
Well, there we are.
And talking about America and Canada, did you see the Rebel News were on the island the other week, Andy?
I didn't know that, were they? What were they
Ezra
up to?
Levant was he was on his way to the protests in Dublin, and he actually done an interview, or he broadcast it from outside Manx Radio Studios on Douglas Head. As he was going round looking for Mark Carney's bank accounts on the Isle of Man, the new Prime Minister of Canada.
Wow.
And he ended up at 5 Belgravia Road in Onchan, a little apartment for the Prime Minister's Brookfield asset accounts. Isn't that interesting?
Well, how about that?
How about that? And he wasn't looking for yours. Yours is safe. You're all right.
Oh, thanks.
The Treasury Minister on, and Claire Barber.
Yeah.
So you're talking about the grants. And I think looking at the massive amount of forms that you have to fill in to get this stuff, and there's only proportionate available, they give this figure that's available for grants, but there's only proportionate available for insulation, for doors, for windows. And it's like a minefield for people to get through. And I think it puts people off, because by the time they've got through all the rigmarole of the paperwork and everything that they demand of you, it's cheaper to just jump up to the DIY centre and buy it, and probably buy it cheaper from places that they want you to buy it from. So I think it's not easy to navigate. And like you were saying before about mould, again, we've mentioned this in this programme before, I mean, a large amount of housing stock in Old Douglas is Victorian, and the old way of heating houses obviously was having the chimneys going up, and
yeah,
they went up in a zigzag, which kind of heated each wall individually. So it was a terrace, every wall was heated right the way along to the end. So when you've done away with that now, you've got that dampness coming in down through the chimneys, and of course the planning people won't let you take chimneys off because of architectural design. So you have this ongoing problem of dampness, hence why people put the balloons up there and have done for many years. And again, it's they brought out a substance that was like a neoprene substance, which you spray the inside of the wall of the house. But, and this has been promoted quite a lot, but to me, with an old building, that caused sweating. And it doesn't allow the walls to breathe. And like we just said there about mould, walls and houses and rooms have got to breathe and be ventilated, and the windows have got to be opened. And a lot of society now don't do that. They you know, they've got dryers on in their houses, and the vents are not properly vented out. And this causes a massive problem inside. And then, of course, the landlords get blamed unnecessarily for a lot of the stuff, because the houses just don't get aired. People just don't do that in this day and age. And that's part of the problem.
I know certainly some private landlords have had issues in the past where they've had tenants who have not opened a window for a couple of years, go in and the place is riddled with black mould.
Absolutely. And of course, and I'm not saying this is for everyone, because there is places that genuinely some landlords are not looking after, and I appreciate that, because people are going to come on and say that. But generally, most landlords don't want to see their properties get damp and ruined. But you do have a small nucleus of people as well who do this on purpose, because it builds up points for them to get into council and social housing. So there's so many different avenues involved in this, but the landlords seem to get the mucky end of the stick every time. And it's not necessarily true, and I know people are going to come on and defend their side of it, but it's just getting a happy medium, because, like I said, they want to impose regulation upon regulation on landlords, where it's kind of not necessary. There's already regulation in place to deal with this.
So what do you think that the government should be doing? If you say the forms are too complicated and you may not get as much as you wanted, and the fact is that the government want this to happen for two reasons. Obviously, if there's public money that's available and there's a policy for this, but also they say they want to get people's energy use down. What can they do then to make it easier and more kind of accessible for people to get there? I mean, he was talking about loft insulation, radiator taps, the thermostatic controls, and also these LED bulbs. What can they do?
The LED bulbs, I think most people have got LED bulbs now. You can't find filament bulbs anywhere now, really. Everyone's on LED bulbs, so that's already happened. And I think at one of the government conferences, the member of Manx Utility said how much their energy had gone down because people had gone onto LEDs.
Yeah.
Insulation, it's just common sense. And I looked into heat source pumps quite a few years ago when they were first talking about this. And my evaluation on it was that the key to all this is proper insulation, not the type of energy source that you're using. Obviously, they're trying to push this through with all the net zero and all this green agenda. It's the big thing to push through. But if you look after your property properly and insulate it properly, roof insulation, it's like wearing a hat in the winter, isn't it? You keep the heat in. And if you do that properly, it don't matter what energy source that you're using, it will help your house fantastically. And I think that's the key to it, because I think when you start neoprening walls and stuff, you're going to have an element of dampness in there. So I think as far as government goes, they just need to make the paperwork a lot easier. I mean, we go on about bureaucracy. Someone in government somewhere has got a job doing that, and it creates jobs for people. We know this. I mean, government is saturated with, like, it could be trimmed down so much. And as far as I can see, there's a lot of bureaucracy inside with paperwork, which is, people just get fed up with it. And I think that drifts on to what you were saying there about volunteers as well, Andy. And I know Peter was saying about illnesses and stuff, but even with volunteers now, there's so much bureaucracy and paperwork in place. People now turn around and go, you know what, I just can't be bothered doing it anymore.
Well, I've heard that a lot of people are running charities some people are closing charities down because the regulations on charities now are so onerous that with things like, you know, anti-money laundering for Manx charities, you know. And so a lot of people are just pulling out of charities and not bothering to do that.
And you know, the farcical thing is, you talk about anti-money laundering from amongst charities, and you've got a guy here chasing the Prime Minister of Canada's money, which has been sanctioned by our government. So it's a farce, isn't it? And it's a shame, because the volunteers on the island do a fantastic job, whether it's in sport, in the theatre, in the arts, and they should step off the bureaucracy and make life easier for them.
Okay.
To go out there and support the community. And just one last thing before I go, it'd be interesting, I think people would be interested in seeing Paul Moulton's latest Isle of Man News production with Chris Robertshaw. I think it's an interesting take on what's going on at the moment.
Oh, he's been talking about Kroger, I think, hasn't he?
Kroger was mentioned in that, obviously, and of course everyone points the finger that Chris was involved with Kroger, and I mean, he doesn't deny that at all, but it's interesting take on where we are up to at the moment, in concern with what the Treasury Minister's views going forward, and I think it would be interesting for people to have a look at that and make their own mind up on things.
Okay. All right, appreciate it.
Cheers, Andy.
Thanks.
Take care.
Good to hear from you. 22 minutes past 12. If you want to contact the Victorian Society, by the way, the email address is inquiries@iomvictoriansociety.org. That's inquiries@iomvictoriansociety.org. If you're interested in volunteering for the Victorian Society, and in particular for the Camera Obscura, as they're somewhat depleted. How many of your listeners now have PVC soffits and no ventilation holes, so a loft can't breathe and condensation will allow wood rot to occur, says Andy. Don't soffits have ventilation in them? Or anyway, if you're involved in this, I'd like to hear your take on this. It's interesting that this has come up from the energy efficiency thing we were talking about, and obviously how you treat a house is important. I mean, certainly ventilator house is important. It's just that some people have got a thing against opening windows inside. Lots of people take the view that if they pay for the heat, they're going to keep it in. And that's all there is to it. So anyway, any thoughts? Or by all means, just get in touch. Text, email, call and WhatsApp, whatever's on your mind. Then we're on Man in Line.
Hi there, how you doing? It's Robert here. I was just looking at a few things online. It's National Gardens Day today. Gardens Day, in terms of like national public gardens. And I was just wondering, is there a secret gardens like they have in Peel and Ramsey in Douglas? And are there any blue badge guides who can show us round, because I'd be happy to pay for that and go and see some secret gardens in Douglas. Nothing, I mean, they're all open, they're all honest, they're all good at what they do, but I'm just wondering, it'd be great to sit down and, you know, maybe have an ice cream or something like that and just chill out in one of the gardens. So I was just wondering if anyone knew, if anyone could phone in, if there was leave a message on manandline.manxradio.com and find out if we have any secret garden guards. Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
Anybody know any secret gardens around this weekend? It'll be a gorgeous weekend for it, wouldn't it?
Hi, James from Tracy Bell here again. Are you thinking of dental braces? Well, at Tracy Bell, we can help. We give you a free consultation and can do all types of braces, from clear Invisalign to metal fixed, or even braces that fit behind the back of your teeth. Don't be shy, give us a try. Call 613323 for your free dental braces consultation. Tracy Bell, helping you to be better.
Hi Liz, I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes, come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
I am one car centre, the place to go. Great choice and price. prices so low. I am one car centre on the main road. Cars of every kind at prices that are hard to find. Visit on Facebook to see the range or call 611040. Great service, choice and prices low. I am one car centre, the place to go.
About a month ago, Perspective heard from Robert Murray, who explained his plan to build an anaerobic digester and energy hub at Andrews. Just over a week ago, a group of farmers and government officials visited Scotland to see how AD plants work. I joined them as an independent observer, and this week's Perspective gives a fascinating insight into how energy crops could work for the Isle of Man. That's Perspective this Sunday at 12 noon on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gawn. It certainly seems to be a great opportunity for Manx farmers and for us to create a more sustainable source of energy. No whiffy smells from this week's Perspective.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
27 minutes after 12. Next Tuesday, 13th, Manx Cares on. Sheila Lloyd is the Executive Director of Nursing and Allied Health Professionals. She's responsible for an awful lot. As well as Sheila, she'll be accompanied by a couple of the new senior matrons. Louise Proudfoot is from Children's Services and Jo Standish from the Medicine and Emergency Department. So it'll be fascinating on Tuesday to talk about nursing, the allied health professionals. She's in charge of midwifery, nursing, what they call the patient experience, including complaints, professional education and training, clinical governance, infection prevention and control. Sheila Lloyd, her name is. That's next Tuesday from Manx Care. And then a week today, we're talking to a pharmacist, not just any pharmacist. He's the chair of the UK's, the British Pharmacists Association. He works on the Isle of Man now, but fascinating to talk about the changing dynamic between the health professionals, you, the customer, the patient, and pharmacists, what pharmacists do nowadays. That's next Friday. His name is Nick Kay. And Howard's with us now on Man in Line. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just going back to the camera obscura.
Yeah.
I know the girl was interviewing Peter, there was a limited time, and of course Peter didn't get a chance to explain all. But anybody that's thinking about coming up to volunteer, you will, you won't be thrown into deep end and say, oh, I don't know anything about it, I don't know what this. There'll be somebody on with you all the time that you're there, and they will take you through the training. It might take a couple of trips, but it'll show you how to, you know, operate the, well, there's nothing to it, it's just how to open up and close down, basically, and if you can talk.
And what sort of person, I was going to say, what sort of person would make a good volunteer for the Camera Obscura, Howard?
Just a person that has a knowledge of the island, because the people are going to ask you about certain factors, but everything that's there is learnable. And, you know, you're not going to be left stranded. We've got a lot of different people up there, and we've just got two new volunteers a couple of weeks ago, and I'm on Sunday morning, and one of the Frank is on with me, and he is still going through the, I'm going to say, the learning stage. It's not a steep curve, but it's a very interesting couple of hours that you can spend there, because the people that you meet have come up there purposely, and they're genuinely interested.
Yeah.
And they come from all parts of the world. We have a little book there that we write in where a lot of the people have come from, and it is quite literally all over the world.
Well, interesting, today there's one of the cruise ships, I think there are cruise ships in over the weekend as well. So, I mean, the Camera Obscura is, I mean, it's unique on the Isle of Man, and it's fairly unique, it's fairly notable in the British Isles, as Peter said. You know, multi lensed operation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I generally look after the lenses and the mirrors. It's so simple, the operational side of it, that you know, that we've actually one of the volunteers was down in London last year, and she went into a museum and she was able to pick up a copy of the actual patent when this Mr. Fielding patented the system. And change the way the camera obscuras in Britain and the world worked. and we've got a copy of that in the Obscura. That was 1891. So this is a little bit of the island's history that should never be lost. And volunteers, as I say, you're not going to be there every week. You're not going to be there on your own. And the people that come up, and children, when they go in, they look at it and think it's going to be a photograph. But such is the clarity, you can see a seagull go past, and next thing you hear a screech, and the child says, oh, it's working, it's there. But it is. It's, as Peter said, it was here 10 to 15 years before cinemas arrived on the island. And this is virtually a Victorian flat-screen telly with no remote to fight over.
How long have you been doing it, Howard?
Oh, how long is a piece of string? I don't know, but it's a while anyway. But it's a very, very pleasant 4 hours because you can be up there and the number of people, even local people, they'll pop it, you know, and they'll all have a chat with you. And I don't think I've ever seen any animosity up there in all the years I've been doing it, in all honesty. But it's a wonderful piece of equipment, and inside the building, it's as it was. And the lady that used to own it, Mrs. Heaton, the story is she used to take the lenses home every night. And last year, her grandson came up, Gary, and I was talking to him, and he said, you know, me nan had this, that, and the other, and used to take the lenses home. I said, yeah, and the little basket. Yes, that's it, he says. I said, that one. And he fell through the floor because that basket must be about 50 years old or more. And that's still in there. This is the uniqueness of the place. It's a little home from home. And volunteers, don't be afraid to come up. I'm just telling Chris, I'm on Sunday morning. And if anybody wants to take a wander up and have a chat, and you can you see how it works. And you will be fascinated yourself.
Okay, right. So it's open. Is it open Saturday and Sunday or just Sundays?
No, just Saturdays and Sundays.
Saturdays and Sundays.
It's, of course, weather permitting.
Of course.
Saturday and Sunday were open from 11 o'clock Saturday until 4. Half past 1, sorry. Again, this is down to the lack of volunteers. Half past 1, 1 o'clock until 4 o'clock. And then I'm there half past 10 on Sunday morning, and it's open till 4.
Okay.
So anybody wants to have a wander up, and there's no restriction on the park and up in the top on Saturday and Sunday. It is 2 hours during the week. So you can have a good wander around and have a look in there and see what is a little bit of the history of the Isle of Man.
And it's a perfect weather for it as well.
It is. Well, I'm going to go up tomorrow and clean the lenses again. They don't take a lot of looking after, but you have to bear in mind they are the originals.
Okay.
And you've got to be delicate with them.
All right. Yes, don't drop them, Howard, whatever you do.
Well, you'll find me hiding in the corner if I did, believe me.
Have a good weekend, Howard. Thanks for calling.
And you. Take care. Bye now.
All right. If you want to get involved with this, as Howard said, just pitch up and have a chat, or you can email inquiries at iomvictoriansociety.org. Kay dropped me a note. Andy, on Wednesday morning I had an appointment at Noble's Hospital for 10:30. We arrived at the hospital at 9:40. It was impossible to park. I'm in a wheelchair. No disabled spaces. Surely the car park needs monitoring by a car park controller. I hope you got there in the end, Kay. Thanks for the note. And I just nipped into town and walked past one of the bike tyre pumps installed on the regeneration works. Looks in a very poor state after a few years. Does anybody use those bike tyre pumps on the Promotor? Coach Park, a coach trip is parked overlooking the slog and scarred an eerie stain. That's a note in from 462. And everybody's short of volunteers. The Coast Guard, the shops, the food bank. People are struggling to find paid employees, says Julie. I wonder what it is. Is this true? If you've got an organisation, are you struggling to find volunteers? Is it a generational thing? Do young people volunteer? And a note in from... there's another Camera Obscura in the UK. Castle Hill in Edinburgh, just before Edinburgh Castle. Yes, but it's not multi-lens, Stewie. But we appreciate the note. Thanks for that. Marie says, Andy, look, government officials went away with a local farmer to see the anaerobic digester in operation. Does this mean it'll be government money funding it? Not as far as I know. I think Mr. Murray, the farmer from Andreas, I think it's all private money as far as I know. And this is all about... we'll have a listen on Sunday. Perspective is with Phil Gorn on Sunday. It's at 12 midday. Phil was raving about his experience in Scotland. So it's interesting how they can use agricultural produce to and lob it into the anaerobic digester. And, well, find out by listening on Sunday. Oh, I don't know whether you spotted this, but Tesco are doing something special for VE Day. It's a discount scheme for veterans and serving military personnel. It's on until Sunday. Now, it's a discount for troops and veterans. If you show your veterans card, a defence discount card, or a MOD 90, an MOD 90, or defence privilege card at the checkout, you get 10% off all shopping, except tobacco and one or two other items. Anyway, you can find out, and the 10% off, because it's VE, the 80th anniversary of VE Day. And I don't know whether you spotted the note about the problems with trees on the Isle of Man. A number of the Isle of Man's plantations and glens are closed as the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture continues to, well, in their words, make them safe. After the severe storms in the winter, including the record-breaking, was it Io Win? In January, which saw wind speeds of over 100 miles an hour recorded at Snaefell. Well, Forester Andy Neal and Director of Forestry, Amenity and Lands at DEFA is Andy Lees.
We sold the timber as standing rigs, basically, to a UK company who engaged with a contractor to come over, fell the trees, process the trees. And unfortunately, most of our plantations on the island are all even aged. So within a commercial crop element, they're a 50-year rotation. These are over 60, 70 years of rotation now. So they're over and above when they should be felled. So with more and more extreme weather, so we're getting winds, rains and things like that, they're getting more susceptible to wind throw. So we have to do something with them before they get worse.
We were just looking at a map before and you can see the zones that have been harvested and there is still so much of the plantation left. So it looks drastic, but actually there is still a lot here.
60-70% of it is still being retained. It's as you drive in, you see it from the road edge, it looks a massive area. But Arch Elegant is a large plantation.
So in some ways, while maybe your hand's been forced by the storms and the storm damage, actually this provides quite an exciting opportunity for the future of the island's plantations?
An absolute opportunity. One, it provides revenue. Two, it allows us to manage the forests. You know, we can't just plant and leave it for the next 50, 60, 70 years. We've got to proactively manage. But also, where we harvest, we have an opportunity of changing what we do within it. So different species of trees, different type of recreational use. So it is like starting afresh again. We don't close plantations on a whim. We have got, as you're saying, some huge pieces of kit. We have people walking into the harvesting site, people walking dogs, motorbikes, cyclists as well. Every time somebody walks in, the team have to stop what they're doing and check. And it gets to a point where every time these people come in, you're delaying the actual plantation opening. The harvesters will literally stop and then check everything again. If we let the harvesters continue with no interruptions, we can get these plantations open a lot quicker.
Well, let's hope so. I don't know whether you're missing your favourite plantation. But if you've got any thoughts, by all means, do get in touch. Charlie, drop me a note and just say, get the bus going back to Douglas Head. Put the ice cream van up there. Get the ferry in operation sailing across from the Victoria Pier. I think those days are gone. And the old funicular railway up Douglas Head, that's long gone. Foggies. Do you remember Foggies? That was now Posh Flats, the Palladium at one time it was. I can't remember. What was the number bus service that went to Douglas Head? Any ideas? What was the number? What was it? I think it was in the days of the Douglas Corporation, the bus, the big bus, double-decker bus. In fact, if you ever come to Douglas Head, you'll wonder why there's an enormous turning circle. It's not for cars, it was for buses. The number of volunteers has reduced because now women have to work until they're 65 and are often looking after grandchildren while parents work. So not many people have the time. Women used to do a great deal in their communities, but often now don't have the time because of having to work to the age of 65 and then looking after grandchildren. Oh, Robert's with us now. Hi, Robert.
Yeah, I had an omelet yesterday. I was thinking about channeling today. How are you?
Well, you know, onward ever onward.
Okay. Well, you can't get down to Port Sodrick, by the way, by the Douglas Head Road. It's sealed off. I was out there on Tuesday.
It's sealed off?
Well, you can't get down all the way round to where Port Sodrick is. That's all I'm trying to say.
Right. Hasn't somebody bought Port Sodrick? It's all fenced off, isn't it?
Have they? It probably is. Is it something to do with the Sandon Commissioners?
Don't know. But when I went down there last, on the left-hand side where the pub used to be, it's all fenced off.
Okay. Well, it's a nice drive down there, and they've got a beautiful glen. It's a bit wet during the winter, but it's a nice place to sit down if you want to relax.
Anyway, that wasn't why you called.
No, the reason why I called was because of Specsavers. There are other opticians available. But if you go down to DHSS House, where the Safeway used to be, and you say, look, I hear you can do an eye test for me. I can't pay for it, but, I need an eye test. I need to get some glasses. You add one pair of glasses a year, up to £100 or £120 or something like that, and you get 40 options. So it's not too bad, is it, really? They are helping you out in a certain factor, aren't they?
You don't work for Specsavers, do you?
I've got a caveat on it, but I don't work for them, though.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. All right. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, have a good one. Bye.
Can anybody shed some light on that new thing in the middle of the roundabout outside the sea terminal, says Fred. Have you seen it? I thought when they were fencing it off, they were going to do something with those rather forlorn-looking trees there, but no, apparently there's a new three legs of man on the roundabout outside the sea terminal. Have you seen it? Do you have any thoughts on what it is? Then by all means, please get in touch. Lots of questions coming in already, by the way, for Sheila Lloyd. If you want to get in touch and drop an email for Sheila Lloyd, who will be on Tuesday, she's from Manx Care, then the email address is maninline@manxradio.com, or you can call the answer phone on 682 631. Hundreds of island youngsters are expected in the Manx Youth Games this weekend. It's an annual event, sees children in school years 2 to 10 take part in one of 16 sports held throughout tomorrow at the NSC and across Douglas and Braddon. So if you see lots of young sporting people, that's what it's all about. The day begins at the NSC in Douglas as a procession to the athletic stadium at 10 o'clock. All participants are there from about 9 o'clock, I think, 9 onwards. And there are two new additions. They're doing volleyball and race walking this year, with training sessions for all the sports having begun back in January. Now, if you're in charge of anybody, remember, organisers recommend you to make your own way to the NSC if possible. Alternatively, bus services will be provided to and from the games from the north, south, east and west of the Isle of Man. And children using bus services are asked to tell the driver they're heading to the Manx Youth Games, and then they'll be allowed to travel free of charge. That's the Manx Youth Games this weekend. The Green Living Grant, I wonder if it'll cover the new horse tram's completion. It's the most green form of public transport on the Isle of Man, says Will. We've not heard yet, have we? It's that's going through. Apparently the politicians are going to be looking at whether or not the horse trams will ever continue to the sea terminal. I would love to think, if they did say it, they're going to go, that it will be straightforward. Somehow, you kind of think it's not really going to be straightforward, is it? There'll be something. There'll be a problem, whether or not it's going on that green corridor at the back of where people park, next to the gardens. So in between where people park and the gardens. Let's hope if it does go ahead, that is going to be straightforward. What do you think?
Enjoy a stress-free, collaborative and successful building project with construction experts Matthew James Limited. First, we take the time to discuss your requirements and assess your site. Then, we'll design and produce plans to bring your vision to life. We'll oversee planning, and when ready, our team will construct to the highest standards. In short, Matthew James are there for you every step of the way, until completion and even beyond. Dream, develop, deliver. MatthewJames.im.
Did you hear?
Hear what?
Skipton International has a fixed rate bond at 4.4%.
Oh, really? That's a strong return. How does it work?
Skipton International's based in Guernsey, and with £100,000 or more deposit, you can lock in that great rate. Fixed until 31st of March 2026.
Sounds like a smart move. I'll check it out.
For details on all of Skipton's savings products, call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com today. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
Quadlock is the strongest and most secure mounting system in the world for integrating your phone, camera or accessories into your outdoor pursuits and for your car, van or motorhome. See the Quadlock display at H&H Motorcycles in South Quay, Douglas.
The extended Ramsey Garden Centre is deceptively large. You'll find a warm welcome and everything from bedding and perennials, fruit and vegetables, to lighting, garden ornaments, bird baths, bird tables, and indoor and outdoor pots. Come and browse at Ramsey Garden Centre.
Radio Caroline North is back on the air this weekend, giving you a chance to win one of three Prunus Retro AM, FM and shortwave radios with Bluetooth. It's a fabulous prize, and it could be yours if you enter our competition. Our broadcast is sponsored by Turton Tower Woodland Cafe, and we're live from our historic radio ship Ross Revenge this Saturday morning, straight after Carnaby Street, on 1368 AM, on DAB and online. It's Radio Caroline North.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
John's on now. Hi, John.
Hi, Andy. At the horse trams.
Yeah.
Why don't they just do the obvious thing? Get rid of the grass bit, move the pavement back so the promenade is wider, and put them down the middle like they always were when they were causing no problems whatsoever. Now, the promenade down there is chaos, because it's too narrow. As soon as anybody tries to park, everything stops. Both ways. The sensible thing is put them back in the middle. After all, I remember the days when you'd get six or eight horse trams on the prom. But now, you're only getting one or maximum of two at a time. So there's not any great hold-ups. It's crazy. They made a mess of the prom, that end. I mean, the other end, fair enough. But this end, down there where the grass bit is, they've made a total mess of it. And the trouble is, they will never come out and admit they got it wrong.
Well, the thing is, we don't know. I mean, we don't know what their intentions were in the first place, because what they've done is a big traffic calming measure on the prom, because they've put, you know, some zebra crossings, some, I can't believe it's not a zebra crossings, and other ones you can't make your mind up. So they've slowed the traffic down anyway. If only they said at the beginning that's what they wanted to do, and that's what they've done on the, as you say, on the approaching the sea terminal. Nobody can really overtake down there, so maybe that was their intention anyway, to stop people overtaking.
Yeah, they've made a total mess of it altogether. I mean, they've made the prom dangerous, actually, particularly at night with the lighting, because you've got so many shadows and all. It used to be the prom was well lit, and now it's not well lit, the whole length of it. Apart from maybe when you say outside, from the outside the villa to the Gaiety, that bit, fair enough, is quite well lit.
Yeah.
But the other ends, both ends, but the parking, on the narrow bit of the prom, that's not traffic calming. That's causing chaos and danger. So I'm sorry, they've made a mess of it and they won't admit it.
Do you think, in your heart of hearts, John, that the horse trams will ever run from the Castle Mona Avenue to the sea terminal?
That is the question, isn't it? Well, they had the money, didn't they? But
it just seems it seems as though they never say one thing or the other. They talk about having plans and going to committees and going back to Treasury. And nobody ever says it will happen. It'll definitely happen. You know, we've got we've got another very expensive cruise liner in today. These people are coming off the cruise, off the cruise ship. If they want to get on the horse tram, they've got what, about a quarter of a mile, half a mile perhaps, from the bottom of Broadway up to Derby Castle, and that's it. So half of the experience has gone.
But nobody thought of this. Nobody thought of this, and this is you really wonder what planning is doing, because they get so much wrong, but nobody ever says, we got it wrong, we're going to put it right. It's as simple as that. But whether they ever will do it, it's a good question, isn't it?
Okay, all right, appreciate
it, John. They stall. It's all sort of stalling and holding up and hoping it'll go away, but it won't.
And perhaps they think that people don't notice, or people will just get bored or tired of it.
Well, this is it. You do get bored sort of listening to the government talking, and you think, well, you know, it's all wrong to start with, but you do feel sad about the way it's all turned out on the prom.
Okay. All right. Have a good weekend, John. Good to hear from you.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care now. It's 8 minutes before one. Oh, Julian's here now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Just hearing about getting rid of damp in houses. When you had your panel on the other day, Claire Barber and Angie Lund were talking about the two options. The cheaper one is the positive input ventilation system, or PIV. They mentioned £500, but if you haven't got a perfectly sealed loft, you're going to suck the heat out with this thing. So to get a perfect seal, you really, unless you've got a perfect seal, most people go for a heated one. And if they're tricky, you know, access to the loft, putting in the ducting and stuff, that can be somewhere between £1,700 and £2,000 to put in. And if you go for a retrofit in an existing property with the expensive version, which is the mechanical ventilation with heat recovery system, MVHR, the rule of thumb, according to the trade, a 1,600 square foot or 150 meter square foot building with that will cost you about £8,500. A 2,500 square foot, 250 meters, going to be £10,500. And a 3,500 square foot, 350 meters, going to cost you around about £14,000 to effectively do what we used to do for free, which was to open the windows at the right time.
Yeah, life seems to have got more complicated, Julian.
It does, doesn't it? It's a bit like these solar and wind, isn't it? You know, we just used to have it for free with the power stations. Now we've got to spend a fortune trying to keep the stable from going wobbly, which is a very good word that you came up with the other day. Wobbly electricity, I like that.
Yeah. Well, not Mike, but that was a friend who's in the trade talked about it. When the frequency is a bit iffy, I think it's somewhere between 49.8 and 50.2 hertz. Anything outside that gets a little tricky, and obviously the recovery systems come into play. All right, Julian, we appreciate it. All the best.
All right, thanks. Have a good weekend.
You too as well. Ali dropped me a note to say, I agree with your caller. The area near the sea terminal is too narrow for the trams. Remove the grassed area and the pavement back to the sunken garden wall. Redo the pavement with a normal width, and this will give the required width for everything. The decision to do this work in the first place was the reason they couldn't run the tramway to the terminal, as agreed and paid for. Ali on 013. Thank you, Ali. Good to hear from you. Another one said, 382 says, actually the horse trams by the wall on the pavement is exactly the right decision. Of course, we'll never know, will we, until it actually happens. Talking about the problem, have you noticed all the pedestrian crossings? This is 223 who tells me all the pedestrian crossings that have been paved have failed. They're breaking up very badly. And if you notice, the drainage doesn't work. Where they should go down a drain, the water's pooling. So when it pelts it down, suddenly you get these big lakes. The details of the work on the roundabout at the sea terminal are out and about, says Trevor. In fact, just send me a link, if you would, Trevor, and I'll take a look at it. We still don't know what was the bus service number to Douglas Head. I'm sure I've got a photo somewhere of the old Douglas amber and red buses that used to run to Douglas Head. Oh, a quick word. South Barul Plantation this weekend's got some essential maintenance works. Tomorrow and Sunday, the works are being carried out to support preparations for timber harvesting. So obey all warning signs and barriered areas, follow instructions and avoid machinery and active work zones. That's South Barul Plantation this weekend, tomorrow and Sunday. They're preparing to cut some trees down. That's it. Thanks to Chris on the phones. The weather is looking absolutely gorgeous for the weekend, so enjoy the weekend. Make the most of your time. We're back with an open line Monday at 12 midday.
WIN.